Off the Ball, GAA.
So you've got Garrod O'Connor, you've got O'Mara, you've got really good players coming in, right? I mean, really good players, not just okay players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Finally, a tiny little shred of luck goes the way of Ange Postecoglou in this accursed season. And here he is, riding high in two competitions.
Yeah. Now, the first one was debated, and many people said it shouldn't have been a yellow when Bergvall lunged in on Luis Diaz on the sideline. But that, you can see my opinions going, lunge, because he lunged in. Yeah. And Diaz had to jump over him. So I thought that actually was a yellow card, despite the lack of content. Anyway, Arthur, how did they do it?
It's a two-legged game.
Yeah.
Oh, we know it's not over. We're just taking a month-long lap of honour until Liverpool smashed them in the second leg, Arthur. That's all. Don't worry. We're prepared for that.
If it all ended today, Ange will have finished up with
a
victory.
What's disingenuous?
That all of a sudden the man's a hero because they've won the first leg of the thing.
Not all of a sudden. I think you will agree that you've been needling me now since the start of the season.
Your blind to his flaws. He can do no wrong for you.
I'm going to start with Alison Rudd's opening paragraph, one of the great opening paragraphs of match reports of all time. The world is now split between those who admire Ange Postecoglou's defiance and sticking to his attacking principles and those who think he should be pragmatic in the face of his undeniable injury crisis. This tie offered plenty of evidence about why the admirers of the Australian may have got it right. We're right, Arthur.
It's just, yeah. It's great reaction, isn't it?
What's great reaction?
The latest thing, whatever happened last, is that's
no,
what's,
no,
that's
no,
what's,
no,
that's what's
no,
the evidence.
This is another piece of data that we have that... I mean,
with that attitude, you would never review any game. Because it just happens.
No, when you don't, you can review a game with a view to the next game, but you don't review a whole tenure on the basis of one game.
But we're not going to see the second leg for another month, so we're talking about this competition last night. He's on a short list of two people who have beaten Arne Slatt.
Okay, but you don't review it like just on the basis of...
So it's ignored. What if it was Spurs and Liverpool won last night? You'd be continuing on about another example of why Ange can't do it.
It wouldn't have changed my opinion at all. And my opinion's not changed by the fact that they won 1-0.
Would have solidified it. Another example you would have said.
Those of us who admire the fact that he loves football... And want him to succeed because he loves football, because he brings a thrill to our lives.
What do you mean loves football?
Last week.
Well, what do you mean loves football? Who doesn't love football? Does Arne Slot not love football? Well, he lost last night.
I'm not sure that Butler. Loads of those managers who want to bore their way to nil all draws.
Who are these managers?
Well, the Carlingmen managers?
What? The Barclays men?
Barclays men.
No, but it's not. But that's completely ridiculous. That's also like... So you're giving out about people who I presume you're kind of the totems of this are your Pulises, your Allardyces.
Your Mick McCarthy's.
But that's like pure pragmatism. That kind of, that whole myth about, oh, these guys are just, they're so reductive in their thinking. It's not that at all. They're playing the cards they're dealt with, the jobs they're given. If you look at what Tony Pulis achieved with Stoke, right? It far outstrips anything Ange Postecoglou's done in his career. Far outstrips it. And with the thing, like over the base of a career, maybe he'll go on and supersede it. He's not been... kind of his later development in whatever this part of the world, but it's far supersedes it. Sam Allardyce at Bolton far supersedes it.
It doesn't far.
It absolutely supersedes it. Getting Bolton into Europe compared with Spurs.
In a different era.
Come on.
In a different era.
It doesn't matter. How can you judge him? Why are you bringing up then guys?
Because it was a...
Give me a contemporary figure. Who is this nil-all man?
Rafa Benitez. Whose football would you rather watch? That's the question, right? As a football fan, whose football would you rather watch? I'd much rather watch Ange. As a supporter, if for whatever reason Unai Emery flames out at Villa and Ange is available, I would be like, bring it on. We will feel alive week in, week out.
There'll be a reason he's available. There'll be a reason he's available.
Yeah, exactly. But because they'll bottle it and they'll be like, no. I do think the injury crisis, you know, I say everybody has injuries, but I think the injury crisis here has specifically robbed them of their ability to play the high line and defend the way they want to do. And I think actually there are moments like last night where they were relatively pragmatic, right? They weren't bald-headed, stupidly playing all the game in Liverpool's half, even though it was one of the most attacking lineups that you're ever going to see. It was basically an Ozzy Ardiles style team. And I would much rather watch that than watch them battle to a nil-all last night and maybe scratch one from a corner.
Yeah. And all you can really do in life is learn, isn't it? They've gone from 3-6 to 1-0 in a few weeks. That's progress.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, I think it's too short a span of time to say it's progress. Like, so you're saying Liverpool have regressed?
Well, in this particular fixture, yes.
But like,
significantly, actually.
Again, no two fixtures are the same. So it's like, if what happens in a month's time if Liverpool win 3-0 at Anfield? Have Spurs regressed again?
Yeah, well,
like, it's just endless.
We'll wait and see. 6 minutes past eight. You're very welcome back. This is Thursday's Off the Ball Breakfast. We're with you live every morning. You can get us on YouTube. You can listen to us as a radio show on OTB Sports Radio. Get the Off the Ball app to do that. That's the handiest way to do it. Now, we're going to talk about the Liverpool side of things. Obviously, we'll stray into some Spurs talk as well. But it's been an interesting few days from Arne Slot's perspective. Gavin Cooney, the 42, is with us. Gavin, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Jared. All good here. Thanks very much.
We're not suggesting that this is anything akin to a crisis, but it's going to be a much more difficult second half of the season for Liverpool than the first half. So it's just interesting to see how the team comes under some strain and how they respond to that. In that context, I was a bit surprised, Colm less so, about the team selection last night, in that he basically rolled out the same team from the weekend with the exception of Trent. Is there a reason for that, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I guess they want to win the Carabao Cup again. Liverpool's squad depth is such that they kind of keep ending up in the final of the Carabao Cup, and I'm not really sure how much they really want to be there. Obviously, once you get to the final, you really want to win it. But they suffered so many injuries in last year's competition, you could argue it maybe derailed them in the competitions that really matter the most later on. So I guess he picked the squad, the team he did last night, to try and win the competition, knowing that they've got a fairly handy FA Cup tie against Accrington Stanley this weekend, where surely he will rotate. But yeah, I was surprised to see, you know, relative lack of rotation there. Obviously, Alisson played rather than Kelleher, which offended my Irish sensibilities, but he rested the fullbacks. But otherwise, you know, pretty strong team. And obviously, as we say, picked the exact same midfield as he did against Manchester United, the midfield that maybe Gravenberg aside struggled a little bit against United, and again, really struggled at the weekend. So you do wonder, you know, the fixture list has never been so packed. You know, we're still doing these two-legged semi-finals in the Carabao Cup for some reason, despite the fact that the Champions League has been expanded. So you do wonder, despite the fact that Liverpool have had a little bit more luck with injuries than their direct rivals. Sorry, I would say a lot more luck with injuries than their direct rivals. You do wonder, is Arne Slot gonna fumble that in a way by not rotating enough in this very busy part of the season?
You might have a better idea than we do. Last year, we were wondering about what happened with Klopp picking the really strong team. Arthur went back and looked at the sequence of them. I remember at the time thinking he picked a really strong team for the home second leg in Europe, even though they were 5-1 up from the first leg. And this was, it turns out, between two big cup games. One of them was Manchester United, but there was a sense that that team ended up running on empty last year because he kept putting the same team out again and again and again. Presumably the sports science department hasn't entirely left. They will have some institutional memory of this. And all the markers that they look at must be fine. Otherwise, he would surely have not picked the full team last night.
Yeah, I would assume so, Jerry. And also the difference this season than last season is that the playing style is a little bit less intense, isn't it? You know, it's not as helter-skelter. And as soon as we win the ball back, we play it forward. They do kind of rest on the ball a little bit. And there have been games in which they've won in the last few weeks, which they haven't really had to put a huge, relatively speaking, haven't had to put a huge amount of energy into it. You're thinking like the 5-0 against West Ham stands out in particular. So, but it is interesting. Like he doesn't. I think he made his five subs last night. He doesn't always make all of his substitutes either. Arne Slot, like he does, even at the start of the season, he very much picked a team and didn't really deviate from it from the first few weeks. So he doesn't seem to rotate as often. And look, you know, Liverpool have probably the deepest squad in England, so maybe it won't affect them. But there was just signs, like against Manchester United and again last night, that they're just a little bit tired, that they're beginning to lose challenges in midfield that they didn't previously lose. And if the forward line cools off in terms of their finishing rate, like one of the big differences this season to last is that these guys, okay, Salah is obviously scoring at an abnormal rate, but the likes of Diaz, Gakpo, these guys are hitting the target a lot more than they did last season under Klopp. So if they then cool off, which is, you know, based off what we've seen from the previously entirely reasonable, then things again become a little bit trickier than Liverpool. And all of a sudden then you don't not too many results have to go awry for Arsenal to think they're actually bang in a title race again.
Morning, Gav. How are you?
Hello, Colin.
You mentioned the Liverpool squad strength. In terms of the starting 11 when everyone's fit, is it the best team in the Premier League? And where I'm going with that is I'm wondering, you know, in the annals of history, in Premier League anyway, certainly, we know that, like, we associate title wins with the great starting 11s of Manchester United and Arsenal and Manchester City over the years. Is Liverpool's right up there, their strongest 11?
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's probably a bit of a weakness out left back. I know poor Andy Robertson's getting pelters from Liverpool fans at the moment for a slight kind of decline in his performances that's probably been happening for about 18 months at this point. But otherwise, yeah, you'd have to say probably yes. Just so impressive has Gravenberg been in midfield, and, you know, McAllister's a World Cup winner, and then you can take either Curtis Jones or Szoboszlai, and then the front three pretty damn strong as well, and especially if Mohamed Salah does kind of maintain his form from the opening half of the season and goes on to set some kind of record for goals and assists, like he's on course for around 60 in the Premier League alone of goals and assists, which would be comfortably the best by a player across a single season. So I think so. In the context of this season, if absolutely everyone is fit, yeah, and flying, you could construct an argument to say that Arsenal have a better team than Liverpool. I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but, you know, if everyone's fit, Arsenal, you know, Saka and Odegaard are so, like, such luminous attacking talents, and the rest of the team is so defensively strong, you could make that argument. But in terms of squad, I think Liverpool, I don't think there's really any comparison between Liverpool and any other team in the league, and that's already kind of come to bear on the Premier League table.